Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Ball Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Hour number two of Old School on Victory Monday, 402-464-5685. Starter Hammond text line, Honda Lincoln hotline. If you want to join the conversation, hit us with a what up. We see you guys on YouTube. We see you on Twitter. You're greatly appreciated. Facebook, Twitch, you, several ways for you to view the streaming. Jay Foreman, Husker Hall of Famer, HOF. Well, I was going to change that for you. I was going to change you into Jay-Z.
That'd be cool. Can I get his check? Can I get one of his checks?
HOF Hall of Famer.
The Mercado.
Tell
84th and Havelock. Certified Piedmontese, Nate, in their special ingredients in Butcher Shop, which I was able to see up close and personal. Once again, they have every type of meat, every cut of meat. They have seafood options, pasta options, take-home options. Nate, they have, even have like the olives and stuff in the jars. They got their own ketchup, their own sauce.
Oh wow!
They got everything, and they got a little dessert, some sorbet. I took some sorbet home, some strawberry.
And then
the regular menu. That's they get you coming or going. They get you when you come in. You're going to eat. Because Nate, here's what happens, man. And I know that you are. You little inquisitive Eric over there.
I am.
So you're gonna walk in there. Canvas the place, because I saw your boy DP. See, if you see people in a butcher shop, Nate, if you ever get to go to a butcher shop, just go in there and watch people. A true person that likes meat and good food, they put their hands behind the back. Right? So DP's up in there. So you get to go in there and see what you might want, and then you get to plan strategically for a week or so. You know what? I'm going to be watching the UFC fight. You know what? I'm going to throw this on the grill, or I'm going to do this. So you either buy it then. But then once you go upstairs and get there, they have a great menu upstairs for dinner. That affects how you order, because you're like, you know what? I might just, you know, not splurge so much, because I know I'm going to splurge down there. So you're either going to buy it before or after. So it's awesome. It's good. Okay, and you know what? It's a classy place, good vibe. You know, of course, you want to be business casual, but it's not where it's so stuffy where you're like, oh, man, I got to, you know, put a suit on just to go eat dinner. You can kind of go in there. And, you know, just like when you're on TV in the morning or something like that, you know, nice slacks and shirt.
John in Cortland from the Texan text the name of said place. He made a referral, kind of line that up. Texter asked this earlier, Jay Foreman, before we get to Rutgers. Texter asked the question, you know, would it be rude, disrespectful to remove the interim tag when talking about Mickey Joseph?
I mean, I just say head coach Mickey Joseph, so that whoever puts in there, that's a personal choice.
Right.
He's a coach, and until notified otherwise, and I ain't going to worry about it. I mean, I think sometimes the thing I don't want to say stupid, because you don't ever want to call anybody stupid, which I think is unproductive, is we're 5 games into the season, and people are like, oh, well, the head coaching search. I mean, a lot can change. Matt Campbell just lost to Kansas. Right.
What's next on my list
right,
is
but at the end of the season and Kansas ends up like 5-7, then what are you going to be talking about?
Yeah, now? You did what you did. I was going to ask about, look, the fifth Power 5 head coach being fired.
Yeah. Paul
Chris getting fired. Look, if we had said this 3 weeks ago, people would have said, what mushrooms were you consuming?
Right.
Right? And now it's a thing.
That had to be internal. I think a little bit of pressure of here's just my view, right? Paul Chris has been extremely consistent, right? Obviously hadn't gotten over the hump to, you know, win a Big Ten championship X, Y, and Z and be like one of the teams that, you know, is there, you know, week in and week out against Ohio State. So his consistency kind of worked. They is unappreciated right now. And then he's been 9-8, I think, since his last few games. But Paul Chris is, you know, he beat that really good Miami team. He's beat some really good teams, right? He's the ultimate consistent. But the big cloud in the room is Jim Leonard possibly leaving and going somewhere else.
Yeah,
so what you have is, and especially you have an AD, new AD, and essentially with Barry Alvarez kind of being Kevin's assistant to Kevin Warren or whatever his job is with the Big Ten. He's still involved with Wisconsin, but, you know, this guy's calling his own shots. He kind of wants to maybe have his hire. Well, you kind of weigh the options. You know, Paul Chris, all right, you know, probably just as, you know, bland piece of, you know, chicken breast. There's Jim Leonard, younger, probably a little bit more spice. We could lose him, you know, and then eventually if he say, oh, I envision you only keeping Paul Chris a couple more years, now you're losing a guy that's your head coach.
But he's 40 games over 500.
I have no idea. It'd be hard for me.
40.
It'd be hard for me to pull the plug on that, considering as from an AD looking at the roster. Now I can ask the coach, why haven't we have another quarterback? Why are we so terrible at wide receiver? I'm asking the coach. I'm asking the player roster guy. You know, they're kind of, you know, their GM. Those are guys I'm having. Am I firing you over? I don't know. I mean, that's you know.
Nebraska has some point of reference here, right?
Let's say draw parallels to Pelini.
Well, no, Pelini's not it, but Pelini was different than that. That this is Frank Solich, pretty much.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
Okay.
This is more. Pelini was a little different.
We will give a shout out to the Pelini family today.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah, that's crazy. They had the horrible accident here in Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
You have this one, and I think there was another one. You know, then you have the horrible scene over there in the soccer game where 170-some people died because of the police shooting tear gas when they rushed the field.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, the best weekend as far as, you know, all this type of stuff. But, Wisconsin is, you know, it'd be interesting to see where they go from here. I think also the pressure of Brett Bielema coming back and just beating the brakes off you at your own game. But that's impulsive, man. I mean, look, man, this dude coached for you. You know he knows how to coach in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You know he's a good coach. He knows your scheme. I mean, if there's ever – he knows essentially how to beat you.
There's certain verbiage that he'll be able to decipher.
But he knows how to beat you, and their Illinois roster – is set up perfectly to beat Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
He's been building that offensive line for a couple of years. They got a really special running back, a consistent quarterback.
Are they using him?
Illinois?
Yeah.
I think he's leading the nation in rushing.
I think it's the kid from Syracuse. And then,
Brown
has been there.
Well, Chase Brown's been there. He's been doing his thing. Yeah. But Wisconsin has a stud runner that they're not using.
Yeah, but I'm saying Illinois, how they're built.
Mm.
Stud running back, offensive line. Good tight end, capable wide receivers, consistent quarterback. Flip side, that defensive line and that whole defense is – they play with a chip on their shoulder, and then they got Chase Brown's brother, who is a guy that's kind of like their racer. So when you think about a team that's built to beat Wisconsin at Wisconsin, and when Wisconsin doesn't have a quarterback that's consistent and ultimately what's hurt Wisconsin is Ferguson being gone because that was the X factor, the tight end. It's a recipe for Wisconsin to you know, get embarrassed like that. So, and yeah, I don't think Wisconsin's using Allen as much, but you got to think Allen came in and was like a lucky recruit where he was like third string and like, all right, man, this gives like, dang, this dude is 230 pounds and can take it to the house. This isn't like they're a guy that they expected to start as a true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of fell into him. So it's a little bit different dynamics that one has to deal with. You know what happens, but I'm surprised, but not surprised. I'm not surprised that it's Jim Leonard because you know they're trying to see see what he can do moving forward though too.
It's weird too. I mean, several folks in the text line talking about assistant coaches and how difficult it is for an athletic director to have a really good assistant underneath a coach that isn't sturdy. Same thing applies. Somebody said, well, you know, Mickey could get an offer and be out the door. some AD sees what he's doing, what he did all just right. this week, and could buy in. But Trev's presence on the sideline, in the huddles, in the locker room,
right?
Tell a tale. What does it mean, Jay Foreman, when an athletic director puts in that sort of time and energy into being a presence during home football games?
I'm sure he's been down there before, right? I mean, this isn't the first time, but I think it's, you know, he's down there trying to support the kids and the coach, knowing that it was been a difficult time. I mean, he said it to him after the game. You know, you guys been through a lot. You know, I mean, if somebody – the one thing I can say about this, you know, everybody's, you know, if they try to say, oh, well, you know, he was over in Ireland watching that game. So he, you know, supported Scott and all them, you know, by presence. But the thing I can say about Trev is for – you know, when you make moves, not only – well, he made the move – let me get this right. He made the move to fire Scott Frost. I think Mickey made the move for Shenander. Correct me if I'm wrong, text line or whatever.
That sounds about right.
Okay. Well, at the end of the day, Trev was part of a big move and probably okayed – it gave Mickey the go-ahead to make the second move. Well, it's one thing for him to – be a part of the big move, which is letting Scott Frost go and saying, hey, I'm doing it to betterment for you guys, right? But it's another thing to say it and then be present. And I'm sure he's talked to some players about whether they felt it was the right move or not or indifferent. But to be there is more important in presence because it's showing that it's genuine. You get what I'm saying? Don't tell me.
Yeah.
Show me. Yeah. He's showing you. You get what I'm saying? It's like, you don't tell me it's good for me and then I don't ever see you. He's there. He's accessible. So he's putting action behind his words. It's old saying, you know, your actions can speak so loud, I don't need to hear what you're saying. So he's doing both. And so that's kind of replicated what Mickey's doing. So I think it's good that he was there. And
how many games like that are required for Mickey to his status to change?
Oh, I don't know. Who knows?
I think if they make a bowl game, it's a lock. Signed, sealed, delivered. If they make a bowl, are you kidding me? After starting 1-3, if he can make a bowl game,
I know I'd be walking up in that office talking about, hey, hey,
be walking on like George Jefferson, man. I'd be walking in arms flailing, chest out.
After Iowa game, we'd be sitting right next to each other on that plane back. Like, what's up, homie?
And just staring at him the whole flight.
Like, yeah, what are we gonna do next year?
What are we doing?
Yeah.
I think that's all fair. On the other side, Greg Schiano, I mean, look, he's trying to get to 500. Where do you put him amongst Big Ten coaches?
I think he's a really good coach. You know, they're 3-2 right now. You know, I think when they were healthy, they went up, and I think they came back and beat a, you know, pretty respectable Boston College team. So, I think he's a good coach. I think he's trying to get Rutgers back to what he had before. It's in a different conference. Obviously, the Big East at that time versus the Big Ten now is way different. But he did phenomenal things, and I think he's doing a good job. I think
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Vedrill being hurt, angst that, not really settled at quarterback. They have a kind of a do-it-all kind of tight end.
Third team quarterback.
And then they have a guy that's kind of like a Tim Tebow. He plays tight end, running back, quarterback. Not much a receiver, but one thing I know that they're going to do is they're going to compete. You better be on point in special teams. This is the huge special teams week, all right? Everything. Fake punts, fake kick, or onside kicks, returns. They're gonna try to get advantage there. Defensively, they're going to pursue the ball. They're going to be physical. I think he's a good coach. He's well-respected, and I think he knows what he's doing. And he's welcome to challenge at Rutgers. And the one thing about him is he's pushed them to do more to, facility-wise, recruiting-wise, and coaching staff-wise, as far as the pool of money that they're able to pay assistant coaches that can, obviously go out and recruit and develop players. So it's not something that's going to be turned around overnight, but they're 3-2 right now.
With several quarterbacks.
You're right. And you got to think, they took that bowl game on a whim last year and was bringing people in from all over the world, because I think their kicker was like from Australia. And they went out there and represented themselves. So I think that's a reflection of him and what he's seeing and what he's trying to do with the program. So this game ain't going to be easy. I mean, they just lost, two in a row. So,
and it was a beatdown.
Yeah, Ohio State was the mother load. Iowa game, I think, got out of hand quickly with the two defensive touchdowns, for Iowa. So they never could kind of get into that ugly boxing match that they want. I think they're going to try to come out and keep it real close to Nebraska and try to, win late. So, but I think Nebraska offensively and defensively matches up well. I think what we do offensively works against them. We got to try to really establish the run game, because they're going to be good against the run, probably better against Indiana. Better than Indiana against the run. But I think we have the advantage at the skill position.
Well, they gave up 5 touchdowns rushing to Washington, to Ohio State.
Right.
Like, that's a ton just to have a guy just pummel you.
Yeah, but I mean,
bad
they're close proximity, but Ohio State, that offensive line,
beat the hell out of Wisconsin. Ohio State's no joke.
Serious business. Man, and
they were not playing no games with you right now. No.
But Rutgers has a problem down the middle deep. Middle deep, they were not good against Ohio State. They weren't good.
Nothing they did was good. The only thing they did, the first drive was good. After that, they were done. But that has nothing to do with Nebraska. Nebraska needs to go and obviously look and see what Ohio State did, what Iowa did to be successful. And the biggest thing Nebraska has to do is continue to work on the things that they got better at and the things that they did well in the game, and really address some of the things that they can control that they need to get better at, right? A little bit more crisp in their offensive line play, mm-hmm. as far as like passing off. And this is passing off, pass protection or run. Defensive line, continue to establish the line of scrimmage and be more of a factor in your first and second units, right? So that's the starters and the guys that come in.
Their second unit was terrible on Saturday.
Well, that's why I'm saying it, right? So we need to play better as a unit. So these are all the things that they control. They can't control how tight the refs call the game. Mm-hmm. All they can do is adjust, right? Come out, let's be aggressive, and play from there. That's the only way you can do. Don't come out saying, "Oh well, DP's the ref, so I'm gonna just start playing 10 yards off on 3rd and 3." No, let's get up and get busy. You know what I mean? And compete.
I'd give you benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, let's do what we do, but right? Let's make sure that we don't get out of our lane, and let's not focus so much on Rutgers more than we have to, because we control how this game ends up. We play good, we win. We come down and lallygag and all, we're out in New Jersey, and maybe they got that, little wind coming off of there, and you smell a little smog, and,
weather's supposed to be weird.
We only got 10,000 people here, all uninspired. No. We're here to do work. You're in our way. We're going to, tear your head off, and then we're going to get back to Lincoln and chill for a while, get a couple days off, and go back to work. This is just part of the deal. It's just part of what you sign up for.
Nathan, I'll ask you a question. Birthplace of college football.
I believe it's Rutgers.
Very first game.
Yeah.
intercollegiate game ever played.
Rutgers?
Rutgers. The place is down a parking lot, but it's in the same neighborhood. It's just not a thing. It's just not a thing. Now remember, a stadium that holds 58,000, 56,000, 58,000, you wouldn't think Rutgers had that big of a house and support. Jay, did you ever play out there? Have you been out to Rutgers?
I obviously played for the Giants beyond New Jersey, but I ain't never played at Rutgers.
Yeah.
We would never grace them with us playing at Rutgers.
That was kind of the point, was that this is a change. Look, it's a meaningful game on a Friday night in Piscataway, New Jersey. Like a game that matters, could actually have impact, right. That the team that wins this game puts themselves in a pretty good position going forward. I'll ask you this because a lot of the media conversation was about the players' reaction to getting Mickey Joseph their first win. What was your reaction? What was your gut feeling when you saw those locker room post game celebrations?
I mean, I was happy for them. It's good. You know, I think they, like I said, the only silver lining out of this is like Mickey's not a new voice. You know, he's a strong voice. You know, so he's not a new voice. It's not like they hired, you know, John Smith from so-and-so college to come in and really be an interim coach. He was associate head coach or assistant head coach. So he already had a little bit of his handprint on the team. They all knew him. He talked to all of them, you know, offense, defense, and special teams guys, and he coached all of them, and his expectation is high for all of them. So I think they were genuinely happy for him. I think they were happy for themselves, and they were, you know, they should be happy. And so why wouldn't you? At the end of the day, they showed maturity. Like, look, this is our head coach. We win. You know, he wins, we win. We're happy for him. But, you know, yeah, it definitely was I'd say the decision makers that are seeing that video, you see a team that genuinely wants to play for that dude. I mean, you can't deny that. That's what I picked up on, straight up. It was genuinely – you know, I mean, heck, the one dude was jumping off the bench in the back, and he didn't play. He had a great sweatshirt on. That dude.
That's me.
Yeah, you know, and so everybody was happy for him. Everybody's, you know, you got to be happy for the kids and everybody that put in the work, but you can tell those kids, you know, play for him. And look, man, I mean, you know, Mickey coaches the whole game. He coaches, and that's the way it should be. He cares. And
you could tell on the sideline. I mean, he was getting animated a few times.
That's part of coaching.
But that's something, it's worth. I'm not taking shots at anybody, but we didn't see that a lot.
Yeah, well, if you ever watched, if you ever watched Nick Saban, Dabo, Ryan Day, Jim Harbaugh, not as much because he's probably too, I mean, you know, who knows what he's thinking about. He out there with full-fledged long spikes on and like fake turf. You know,
he run the triple option every play.
Yeah, he run a triple. He out there in 80-degree heat, throwing with gloves on. I mean, he's a little different. Yeah. But everybody's coaching, and then that's why when you saw him get mad at Turner obviously, you know, knew he messed up, but he knew it was coming from a genuine place. Like he, you know, pretty much like, dude, you better than that. What you doing? Right? I mean, not in those words probably, but you know, hey, dude, what's up? Like. Player, we're trying to win the game here. You want to get in a steel cage match? We can work that out later. But this is what we're trying to do. So, you know, look, man, it is what it is. It was a good game, but you know, at the end of the day, like Mickey said, it's 24-hour rule. So it's time to turn the page and let's get after it.
Through all of it, right? Today's a day where you get your eyes forward to Rutgers and what they do. The name that most Husker fans know when they talk about Rutgers is Noah Vedral. Is injured and trying to fight his way back to it. Shiano said there's some things that he's able to do, but he's not able to do everything until we can use him a little bit. What does that mean, Jay? I mean, if you're Noah Vedral, it's your Huskers, right? It's still a meaningful game.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to – I mean, if he can't – I mean, Noah Vedral's a good enough teammate. If he's not able to go out and participate, he's going to help out as much as possible. And – you know, how he got the Rutgers is probably not the way that he'd like to get there. He'd probably like to have been here and truly compete for, you know, the starting, you know, quarterback position. And, you know, he felt like that wasn't, you know, afforded to him. So he's at Rutgers. And they were a different team last year when he played. He knows how to play the quarterback position. He's just, you know, banged up right now. And so I'm sure he would do anything to try to play, but he's going to, you wish him well. You just don't wish him well, come Friday night.
Jay, this was a week where Bazelak came into this thing with all the hype and all the numbers, throwing 50 times a game, throwing at a 69% completion rate. The Huskers held him to 50%. What did they do?
Oh, they challenged them a little bit, and, they were down. They're, top two receivers, so you can't, discredit that. But ultimately, they had some good guys that were able to make plays. And, here's the really good thing about him as a quarterback, and here's the thing that he hasn't understood about playing the position. He has got a big arm, right? Sometimes when you have a big arm, you think you can do anything, and then when you have guys that are right there and they're physical and they're taking you out the timing off, then that's why the completion percentage is at 50%, and you've been completing it at, what, over 60-some percent before.
Mm-hmm.
And then they really went against, the running attack. And I said this before, a team that's going to throw a lot, I like that. Obviously, linebacker, you want to be able to make plays in the run game, but – conceptually wise, you're going to understand what they're doing really quick if you're into it. They don't have – if they throw the ball 60 times, they don't have 60 different pass plays in college.
They're copying success over and over again.
So that's what they're going to do. So they – I wouldn't say they play in your hands, but if you kind of understand, try to get a good, intel on the offense or the concepts they're trying to do, it kind of works out for the defense. And I think they play, I think the guys – made some plays. I mean, you had pass breakups. You had, they had a little bit of, change. Sometimes you ran man. Sometimes they dropped. It looked like, seven or eight guys. And they had, some pressures, which, weren't set. You had Garrett with two sacks, Ty with a sack, Caleb Tanner with like two or three pressures. I'm sure there's been a couple other pressures. So, again, you're getting in his face, throwing off his timing. And, you like it. And he wasn't very accurate, but, is different playing it here than maybe in Indiana, but the defense went out and dictated more than sitting back and just letting him pick you apart, and that's probably the biggest thing.
Well, I did love, in fact, the way they responded. It was a good Saturday night. Saturday night was fun. I have to say that Saturday night was fun. The building sounded like the building I expected when I got here. Like it actually,
yeah.
Like oh, this is Memorial Stadium on a Saturday night. Pretty cool. We'll come back. I'll ask Jay about the thing, special teams. Like, this is an opportunity, and they stepped up and made a play that could have turned around and saved the entire season. We'll talk about punt block, scoop, and score when we come back.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and Jay on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.